Chapter 7. Words and Deeds. I didn't always use so many words. A woman was once caught committing adultery. You may have already heard about her or read the story somewhere. The man somehow managed to sneak away, and the woman was supposed to be stoned to death. That was legal back then. I was asked to express my opinion on this matter. I took my time, drew something in the soil with my finger, and then said, "Anyone who is free of sin should throw the first stone." What can I say? Nobody threw a stone. All those ready to throw stones disappeared more or less peacefully. I was the only one without sin, but I didn't want to stone her either. I told the woman not to do it again, and the matter was resolved simply without bloodshed. A Roman officer contacted me on one occasion when I was in the Capernaum region. I remember this situation quite accurately because I was really surprised by the centurion and his incredible faith. The officer asked me to heal his servant, who was paralyzed and suffering terribly. I quickly agreed to come and heal him, but he said, "Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just speak the word and my servant will be healed." Absolutely amazing! Before that, the sick people had all been brought to me. The officer now believed that it was enough if I spoke a word. He'd understood the power of my words. And so I said to the officer, "Go home, and you will receive what you have believed." And his servant was healed at that moment. My disciples experienced the power of my words in their own bodies. We were traveling on the lake in a boat. I laid down because I was exhausted. People were constantly demanding things from me, and I rarely had time to rest and sleep. My disciples, however, became really fearful because a storm brewed up on the lake and the boat started filling up with water. They woke me up and, trembling, cried out, "Lord, save us! We're drowning!" They were full of fear and had little faith at this time. I stood up and told the winds and the lake to be calm. It became unbelievably still, partly because the storm had stopped, and partly because the disciples were amazed that the wind and waves obeyed me too. On the other hand, that was only logical because I helped create them in the first place. Speaking of the lake, I experienced another incident with my disciples there. I'd sent them on ahead of me, that is to say, they were already crossing the lake in a boat, and I wanted to follow them. That's what I did. I simply walked after them. On the water, of course. It was simpler to do that than swim. They were so shocked until they recognized me. Peter naturally wanted to try walking on water himself, so he stepped out of the boat. The other disciples stared at him incredulously, but Peter looked at me and walked on the water towards me. However, after taking a few steps, he took his eyes off of me, looked down at the water, began to doubt, and started to sink. If you want to experience miracles, keep your eyes on me. Otherwise, you might get wet. One day, Jairus, an official from a synagogue, came to me and asked, "Lord, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live." I was thrilled that he trusted me to do this, and I immediately followed him with my disciples. They were excited because it was going to be their first time to see someone raised from the dead. When we arrived at the house, the mourners were making an enormous commotion. I had to send them all outside and said out loud, "The girl has not died, but is just asleep." The crowd laughed at me, but I still made them leave. Then I could finally go in to see about the girl. I took her hand and she got up. On another occasion, I was supposed to raise someone from the dead. It was my friend, Lazarus. But I was in no hurry. We didn't arrive until 4 days after his death. It's true that I had to listen to a few complaints. If I had arrived immediately, I could have helped. But now, he was half decomposed and stank in his grave. How could he be raised from the dead? That's what people said, because it seemed impossible. But I'm a specialist in doing the impossible, because nothing is impossible for me. Nothing is impossible for us as God. So I went to Lazarus's grave, called out his name, and nothing happened. After all, he first had to find the exit in the darkness of the grave. But then he walked out alive. He smelled a bit because he hadn't washed for 4 days, but otherwise everything was fine. Mary and Martha, Lazarus's sisters, who'd called me and were angry at first, were strengthened in their faith through this miracle, and they weren't the only ones.